Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Stand up for. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. 822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings. Gary Wellings.
And thank you for tuning in to catch another edition of The Drift. Joining me in studio, Brandon Drake.
Good to be back.
Good to be back with you. Saturdays are so fun, aren't they?
They are. I look forward to it.
We get in here and have a little fun and yuck it up and try to avoid some conversations.
If the listeners could only hear what we say before we go on air.
Yes. Or in between on the breaks. Yes. Let's take care of a little business. Sponsor this half hour is The Current. The May edition is normally our biggest edition. If you want to get your advertisement into The Current, you need to call me as soon as possible by Monday, 734-629-6010, and reserve your space in The Current because it'll be uploaded the following Monday. So there's a little time left. Don't lose out and get your branding done in The Current. You can go to COURANT online or COURANT.com and grow your business the way we've grown The Current. So good place to spend your advertising dollar. Or you could spend it right here on The Drift and, hang out with Drake and I. We love having company in here, don't we?
That would be fantastic.
Yeah, if you want to come in and sponsor, you can join us. No, there you go.
We're for sale.
We're the ultimate capitalist. Yes. Lots of stuff to talk about, but always...
Before we get started here, last week you brought up $500,000 that your hero, Debbie Dingell, has raised. Is there an update on that money?
I have not.
That tally?
I have not thought one iota about Debbie Dingell since we spoke about her
Saturday. And you know, when we were talking about $500,000 and Debbie Dingell, it made me think for some reason back in the 70s, remember the OPEC embargo after the Yom Kippur War and oil prices like quadrupled?
Yes.
And that was because of the Arab oil embargo. And then you started hearing the term petrodollars.
Yes.
I think that was the first time you really heard petrodollars as part of our culture and national discussion. And then after the Iranian Revolution in 1979, oil prices went up drastically again, and you heard petrodollars again. And you thought that was really going to be, you know, the enslavement of America. And it was for quite some time. But having said all that, you're thinking, what does this have to do with Debbie Dingell? I'm thinking to myself, Dingell dollars.
Oh.
I need Dingell dollars for my bunghole. I'm the great Cornholio.
That would be Hillary Clinton, wasn't it? That was the one last week. Oh, my gosh, yes.
A little Beavis and Butthead imitation there.
I imagine she
there.
Probably has another $50,000 or $100,000 in the bank after the exposure she got from us on this show.
You know? Dingell dollars.
Dingell dollars. Yeah, I try not to think about Debbie Dingell if I don't have to. I mean, well, as the election gets closer, and Terry Bowman is always welcome to come on this show and yuck it up for an hour with us and get to know people. I do what I can for him on Facebook. I share stuff and whatnot. You still haven't gone back to Facebook, have you?
No Facebook, no Twitter, no social media whatsoever.
I'm not doing well with Twitter, dude. So seldom do I use it that I forget how to use it.
Is it difficult to use? It looks difficult to read.
It seems like it. It seems like it for me. I'm struggling, but who's got time? I don't have time for Facebook hardly, let alone, and it took me years. I'm like you. It took me forever to get on social media with Facebook. I was like, I don't want to do it.
Here's what you do. You go to community education at night, and I'm sure there's a class on tweeting.
Probably.
There has to be.
Probably. Or you go online and YouTube. You could just YouTube anything. I mean, I built my own websites using YouTube. Being the guy, older guy that I am, I don't quite understand all the technology, so I would read the directions from WordPress and couldn't figure it out. I would Google it up on YouTube, and sure enough, there was somebody explaining it in comments, plain English, for me to figure out.
Oh, YouTube is awesome.
But it took me months and months.
Yeah, but you did it. I mean, you built a website. You've got it running. You update it. You maintain it. Yep. You know, I couldn't do that.
Yeah.
Maybe I could, but I just haven't.
You can.
Yeah.
It's the drive.
Anything
I need
to
do that with the current website. And I'm like, you know what? Do I want to spend that months and months doing that? I think I'm going to just pay somebody to do it. I've got a lady who's already talking to me about it. So I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Matt Clark.
Or Matt. Yes. Well, Matt's so busy, he hasn't got time to do anything, you know, between the station and his blogs and everything else he's doing. So
he's the website guru.
Yes. So kind of lost track of where we're going to go. Oh.
I threw you with those Petro Dingle Dollars.
The Dingle Dollars.
And anyways, my very, very horrible Cornholio imitation.
I thought it was pretty good.
That was pretty good?
You do the Beavis and Butthead pretty good, yeah.
I was going to stand up like him and start pacing around the room with the hoodie over my head, but I let that one slide. Let that part of the axe slide.
Get the little cackle.
Yeah. Are you threatening me?
So what we do every Saturday on the show is go over the stories from the Daily Drift that I put online for you every day. And if you have something other than those that you want to talk about, you are more than welcome to call in 734-822-1600 and appraise us of your stories that you want to talk about. I know last week we weren't planning on covering the Bundy Ranch thing, but sure enough, it hit a chord with a bunch of people. So, yeah, if that's what you want to do. The thing that hit me this
week. We need to touch on that again, too, because I've got some audio that is going to show you what they did before they got into the cattle grazing business.
I'm scared. All right, I wanted to start out with something a little local. This week, the affirmative action at the U of M came up again. I'm not sure I understand. Every time I'm on the U of M campus, it looks about as diverse as you can possibly imagine. So I'm kind of always taken aback when I hear these news stories about someone saying, I didn't get into the U of M. You know, well, you know what? From everything I remember when I was thinking about applying to colleges, and U of M was one of them I thought about, you had to be the 4.0, 3.9, 4.0. You didn't just walk into U of M being a slouch. You know, 3.6 may be good by today's standards because most of our young people are, all right, maybe I'll get a little raft, not as hardworking as we may have been back in our day. At
least it's called grade inflation.
Well, there you go.
You know, a 3.6 today may not be the same as a 3.6 10, 20 years ago.
Yes, yes, I will agree with that. I think a 3.6 may be a 4.0 now.
I'm confused, all these numbers.
3.6. Anyway.
And I'm an accountant.
So Brooke Kimbrough was one of the young ladies. She has a pretty stellar record at her own school, high school. She's a high schooler that applied and didn't get in. And Daisha Martin, I think, is the other one who didn't get a chance. Yes, Daisha Martin. Both these young ladies, they're African-American, one from like Southfield area, Farmington, somewhere up that way. And they didn't get in. They got their rejections letters. And, of course, they immediately contacted BAMS, that group, by any means necessary, which, you know, that in itself strikes me as a pretty hostile-sounding group, by any means necessary, meaning you would take violence upon yourself to
yeah, it
to
sounds
get
like
what
the,
you wanted.
It sounds like the Weather Underground.
Yes.
Or the Weathermen.
Yes.
Or the Black Panthers or any of that nonsense.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm sure there are thousands of white or Hispanic or Chinese kids that probably didn't get in as well, got the turndown letters. And I don't see any of them complaining, at least publicly. They may be complaining.
Well, when you hear about the white student who actually files a lawsuit because they didn't get in, More often than not, that's just kind of dismissed like sour grapes. Like, oh, you're white. That doesn't count. You know, what are you complaining about? You've got so many advantages over everybody. But when a black person doesn't get in now because supposedly they've cut back on the affirmative action and all these preferences, then it's like somehow it's victimization.
Yeah. Well, I think it went down from I'm trying to dig through my notes here. It's down to 4.4% this year from 4.7% last year or something. And it strikes me, the first thing I thought of, well, the economy is terrible. There's probably less people going to the U of M. They can't afford it. And that would include whites, blacks, Hispanics, and Chinese or Oriental or whatever. So why do you automatically assume that it's a racial thing that is keeping the black population out of the U of M? I can't think of an institution that would be less discriminatory than the University of Michigan. I just don't see it. They're so liberal. There's no way they would be going out of their way. Do you agree?
Well, the race card is the default position to always take, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it automatically goes right to that discussion point. And as ridiculous as it sometimes is, that seems to be what they, you know, just build their forces around. You know, the other thing besides grade point and ACT and SAT scores is extracurricular activities.
Yes.
And you have to have those looking really stellar to have a chance to get in. You can't just be an ace student and get in. You have to do all this other stuff and show leadership and
yeah.
and a certain diversity, if you will, in interests.
Right.
You know, so like if, you know, I love helping the poor in Tibet, and I go there every year and we build a toilet or something. You know, that is something really unique that they'll probably take a look at.
A better look at, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not easy getting to U.
No.
I don't care what color you are. You're not walking into the U of M unless you have stellar grades, extracurricular leadership. You really have to show, unless maybe you're on a relative or a big donor, maybe your kid's going to get in. I mean, that's
probably
par for the course, I guess.
But what you just described about stellar grades and extracurricular activities, that's the way it should be, and it should be consistently applied regardless of what race, religion, or whatever
yes.
you are.
Yes. Content of your character and your performance, not what your skin color is. Now, the thing I found interesting, Derek, we're going to play this track. This is the news track of the young lady, Brooke Kimbrough and Daisha Martin, working with these band people in a protest.
Mm-hmm.
And listen to her.
You know, I just want to say this. If U of M was 100% black, you know, every student there was black because whites weren't able to compete and get in, I'd be happy with that.
Yeah.
I would have no problem with that. As long as it was fair as far as the, you know, measuring what people's grades and everything right. else is, I don't care if it's all white, all black, whatever. Just have the quantitative measurements in place; they're fairly applied.
Right. So, Derek, let's listen to this young lady as she's demonstrating and protesting against not getting in.
I believe that I have been rejected because of the morals that I stand for. I am Harriet. I will take back my freedom as a tool to help others. I have left the plantation to get my freedom, but I am coming back for you too. I am Ida B. I will make it my civic duty to document every news of a rejection letter that the university produced for our black, brown, and red bodies.
My name is Daisha Martin.
Wait a minute. We got the audio confused. That was Alex Jones.
Now, what bothers me is she's supposed to be on a debate team, I think. And that's not debate. That's screaming and ranting and raving.
She would win hands down because I would have to leave the room. It hurt my ears here listening to that nonsense.
Exactly. I mean, number one, calm, cool, and collected. I don't think she did herself any favor because you know what? If I were on the U of M staff right now, I'd be saying, you know what? She sounds like an angry vigilante type person. I'd be scared of having that person on my campus because you know what? She could go off on somebody.
She sounded like Chris Rock live at the Apollo.
But I mean, honestly, you know, she's not doing herself any favor. If you come out in a calm, cool manner, and especially when you're on public television or on television out in the public, you would think you'd want to come across as a little more professional and work it out. I understand she's angry, but you know what? I'm not sure that the 3.6 grade point and her ACT scores, whatever they were, measured up. I mean, Jennifer Gratz got a little grief this week. Now, that was the young lady you were talking about earlier. She was a white girl who had applied, had grades better than some minority students that got into the U of M. And so she's the one that sued and went to the Supreme Court, and that's why we no longer have those affirmative action policies at the University of Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Because she believed everything should be not based on the color of your skin. Everything should be based on the data.
And I think what came out of that, too, was, and this is several years ago, so I may not have this exactly right, but my point, I think, is valid, is that getting into U of M, when you went through the application process, part of it was you had to write some type of essay about whatever, and the maximum points you could score for that was, like, I don't know, like 4 points or some low number. And if you were non-white, you instantly got like an extra just 20 points credit to your score.
Right.
So it was just outrageous. You could write the most beautiful essay, be the most educated, articulate, cogent person, and it didn't really matter because you were totally wiped out if you were white.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, fair
by somebody
is fair.
Else. Right.
I don't believe it's fair. I think it's discriminatory to give somebody an advantage just based on the color of their skin. It really doesn't make any sense to me. So anyway, Jennifer Gratz challenged this young lady to a debate, and my headline was a debate we'd like to see,
because
I would
awesome.
Love to see that debate. You know, hopefully the young lady would be more calm, cool, and collected when she was debating. But I tried to get hold of Jennifer Gratz via Twitter, as we were talking earlier, and of course I don't know what I'm doing, so I couldn't even somehow get up. I can follow her, but it's as far as I managed.
You self-deprecate yourself with Twitter every week.
Because I'm mad. I want to learn that one.
Oh, if you just started, you would be an eight. You'd fly right into it.
Right. Yeah. Let's change gears.
Okay.
And if somebody wants to talk about this, you're more than welcome to call in. But we want to take a call from John, who wants to talk about Agenda 21, which I'm no expert on, but it's one of those things we should all be more aware of. John, welcome to the show. Did we lose John?
Hi.
Hey, there John, how are you? There you go.
Good. It's good to hear you guys. Listen, right now, forget the rancher. They've got the George Bush in 2002 signed Agenda 21, and what's happening is it was supposed to be navigable waters for boats in the rivers and in the big lakes, and the EPA has extended it to, are you ready, the drainage ditch in your front yard, or a stream, their words, could be 100 years old, dried up, or a pond, but it could re-moisten. So they're going to, or snow that's going to melt on your property up north, you know, after the winter. But it's a wetland, and they're reclaiming the land, acquisition, and they're calling it state and federal park land reserve, and they're going to want to make sure that the guise is the water quality is good for you and I, you know, to drink and use and stuff like that. So that's their way of getting away with it and taking your property, and then they can reclaim it as state and federal park reserve, and they have a executive order written where if they wanted to, I don't know that they would, but if they wanted to and you kept going back on the property, they could shoot you.
Lovely.
And I mean, it's, we can go to the city hall and tell them that we're aware of this Agenda 21 and that you're subject to recall, and we're going to make an effort to do it in our neighborhood unless you, you know, abandon it. And they will. They have done this at different places, but it's not being talked about enough. There's a hardback book on it. A woman named Harriet, I don't know her first name, she's the one that caught wind of it and researched it for 2 years and couldn't afford to do the book, so she went to Glenn Beck. They researched it for 6 months, maybe 8 months, and they put the book out with her jointly. It's $18.30 at Target, and you know, it takes you through, and when you get to the afterword, it says everything that you just read, and it's horrible what you read, and this is what they've got planned, these horrible things, that it's real, and then you can see it in writing. If you go into the city hall, in the planning and zoning department, it's right there. In any city throughout the whole 50 states, it's in every single one, and they're reacquisitioning the land. And they're going to want people to be pushed into the city, and you live in tenement housing, and it's like,
yeah, that's Big Brother.
Well,
I remember dealing with that, and I actually heard part of that Beck discussion with that lady, and it's true, and it goes to show you that, you know what, the most important election, every time there is one, is not the presidential and the senatorial or the congressional. It's your own backyard. It's your municipal township or city board. It is your school board. Those are the ones that are important because they're the closest to you. We're going to get into a discussion about the Bundy Ranch or the results of it shortly here, probably
not the Bunny Ranch.
The Bunny. We'd rather talk about the Bunny Ranch. Yes, but you make a great point, John, as always. And yeah, people need to be aware. People need to be asking these local elected officials before they vote for them where they sit with Agenda 21 and private property rights. Because I've sat on a zoning board in Northfield Township for, I don't know, decade or longer now as either a substitute, alternate, or on the board proper. And, you know, I've always pushed for property rights. And it's amazing that the number of people who sit on these boards don't believe you have property rights. You know, they believe the city is the be-all and end-all and should have the final say on what you do with your land. So, all right, John, thank you very much. Appreciate the call.
Bye.
Thanks, John. Yeah, pretty soon, you know, hearing all this talk about reclaiming the land and preserving wetlands, we'll all be living like Huell Gibbons, you know, munching on grape nuts, worshiping at the altar of Al Gore.
Yeah, it does. I mean, this is a 2014 election. People need to educate themselves. We talk about the low information voter all the time. It starts right in your own backyard. You know, Ann Arbor, you better start looking at your city council a lot closer. You know what I mean? If you're a closet conservative in Ann Arbor, you better get out and start pounding the pavement for your candidate, those Republicans, because you know what? Those are the ones that are going to fight against you getting a new deck built in your backyard. You can't put that new deck in back there because you're too close to that ditch. You know, that ditch has some bugs in it that we don't want to get destroyed.
Plus, you know, it might interfere with the chickens free grazing across your front yard.
Can you have chickens in Ann Arbor?
Yeah, Bob Elton talks about that.
Yeah?
Yeah, his neighbors have chickens. You can't have roosters.
I'd love to have chickens, but they are dirty, dude. They are just, you got to be special something to go out there and deal with those chickens and collect those eggs and stuff. Yeah, filthy animals, really. I think my dogs are filthy. No, chickens are way worse. But it is what it is. Fresh eggs are the bomb, you know?
They're not bad.
Yes, love having a good fresh egg. So, we've already missed our spot for taking a break. We just walked right through this one, didn't we?
We just blew right through it.
Yeah, 734-822-1600. The other thing I wanted to talk about, let's jump ahead. The pipeline was in the news again this week, and the Obama administration is delaying it yet again. This time it looks like they're going to try and delay it until after
the midterm elections.
Yes. Now, it struck me as, you know what, this is what we deal with as leadership. We're not going to do what's best for the country. We're not going to – you know what? Union guys, you better not vote Democrat this time around because these are union jobs he's holding up. Don't think for a minute that non-union guys are going to get any of the jobs on this pipeline. This is all union work. And so as a union man, you should be looking at the Republicans this time around and saying, we want someone who's going to give us union jobs. And this is the XL pipeline. And Obama's just stabbing him in the back again. There is no excuse left. Everything's been run through. It's been overanalyzed for 5 years now. Let it happen. Let's get this dog and pony show going and let the jobs begin because it's going to give us jobs to get it built. It's going to get us jobs afterward. It's going to hopefully bring prices down a little bit. I won't guarantee that. But it certainly will be a job maker in this country, and that's what we need to have. We can become a big oil exporter again. And for them to deny this until after the elections because he's afraid of angering his
liberal base.
I
have to do a little teasing of you here. We're going to import the oil so we can export it? Because
yes.
It is coming from Canada.
Yes.
You mean refined products.
Yes. We're going to refine it.
Okay.
It gets refined here. We get paid to refine it.
Right. We're already doing that. We are already exporting refined oil products to South America and Europe.
Oh, yeah. There are boats that come from overseas, come here, refine it, and then leave again. We've got lots of refinery. We don't have enough, I don't think.
I just think it's wild that we, you know, with gas almost $4 a gallon, that we're exporting, you know, gasoline and jet fuel and natural gas.
But it's economics.
Well, right.
They get more money for it in Europe and China than
exactly.
They do here. That's
no,
why.
No, totally understood. Yeah. But it's just kind of like every time we talk about, you know, we're going to produce more to drive the price down, it's really not necessarily going to happen because demand is global.
Yes.
And these are global commodities.
Yes, that's exactly right. You have to have a really huge supply to drive it down here. And they always seem to have some excuse. Yeah.
And if the supply gets too large, then you're not going to necessarily put the money into the infrastructure because you won't get the return on investment that you
Correct.
Need.
Correct. Got to find that balance. All right. We'll see you all on the other side of the break.
People are always on the go, driving to work, running errands. How do they keep informed? They listen to Wham! Talk 1600, just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham! For the latest issues discussed by hosts Bill Bennett, Glenn Beck, and Theronex. They stay tuned in for state and local news with Dan Martin, and they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 and advertise your business with Wham! Talk 1600.
Fox News Radio, I'm Pat O'Neill. The captain of the South Korean ferry boat defending his decision last Wednesday to delay evacuation of the ship when it began sinking.
He says he feared they would be swept away because there was no rescue ships around at that time. Two of his crew were taken into police custody overnight, charged with negligence and failing to secure the safety of passengers in violation of maritime law.
Fox's David Piper, about 270 people, mostly students, still missing, 32 confirmed deaths. A huge creeping landslide threatening homes in Jackson, Wyoming has slowed down, but Public Information Officer Charlotte Reynolds says that doesn't mean the worst is over.
One day of things slowing down does not mean that the landslide, the overall activity has either slowed or stopped. Certainly not.
Crews have been trying to prop up the hill with concrete walls and netting. 42 residents have been forced from their homes. Fox News, we report, you decide.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
Join the Information Center for a video presentation of Caring for a Loved One with Alzheimer's. This video offers insight, hope, and understanding for anyone who cares for a loved one with dementia. It'll be April 29th at 10 a.m. at the Dearborn Senior Center. To register in advance, call 734-287-7883. Are you ready for a family-friendly 5K run? It's coming Sunday, May 18th at Eastern Michigan University. Join your neighbors and friends to raise money to benefit the Girls on the Run Scholarship Program. Lace up your shoes and walk, run, or skip to help young girls during this 5K Fun Run and Celebration Expo. There's still time to register online at girlsontherunsemi.org. That's girlsontherunsemi.org. Girls on the Run Southeast Michigan serves Washtenaw and surrounding counties. The Ford Motor Company Chorus presents A Journey Through Time. The chorus is celebrating its 70th anniversary with a tribute of song and video commemorating Ford Motor Company's 111th anniversary. It'll be May 30th at 7:30 p.m. at Angelic Lutheran Church, 8400 Park Avenue in Allen Park. Tickets are $10 each. The chorus will be performing popular numbers from the early 1900s through today. The concert is limited to 300 tickets. For more information, call 313-418-3140. To review these events and others, you can always visit Wham's website at www.whamradio.com and click on Community Events.
You've been listening to the Wham Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community at whamradio.com or write to Brandon Drake, COWAAM, 4230 Packard Road, Ann Arbor, 48108. No matter where you are across the globe, you can listen to Wham! Talk 1600. In Southeast Michigan, keep us locked on your AM radio. But everywhere else, there's whamradio.com. All you need is a smartphone or computer. Just go to waamradio.com and click on the Listen Live link. See the latest updates to whamradio.com and be sure to listen to all your favorite shows live. From Tampa to Traverse City, New Mexico to Maine, wherever you may be, Wham! Radio is there, online and streaming live.
And welcome back to The Drift, hanging out with Derek Stone, producing, and Brandon Drake in studio.
Pleasure.
I'm off a little bit today, can you tell?
Nah, you're doing fine.
Eh. I didn't feel I was almost going to call and say, you just do it.
Derek and I would do another sports show. Be afraid, people. Sports.
Yes. Sports.
That's what Derek and I love talking about.
Let's do our sponsor this half hour, AAA Service Network. Call 1-800-FIX-IT-NOW. That's 1-800. Let me see if I can read it without my glasses. 349-4866. If you're looking to get some plumbing, air conditioning, water heaters done, AAA Service Network is the place to go. Professionals, they take care of you good and quick. They take care of their work in a very timely manner. And there's all kinds of coupons that you can get at The Current. Go to currentonline.com and click on the latest month, and you'll see in the paper the coupons for AAA Service Network.
Hey, I just thought of something. Last week, I mentioned the PBS program. You know, we're talking about the Bundys in Nevada, and I mentioned that PBS program that I couldn't remember the name of, and Jimmy called in, and he had seen it too. It was called The Frontier House.
Yes.
And they had three families, and they tried to recreate, I think it was like 1883. And if you could survive the winter, then, you know, that was like a real victory for this show. I think the homesteaders had to stay out there like 5 years, and just almost all of them failed and never made it. So they had to leave the land. So anyway, they had these historians and everything, and if they were able to produce enough crops, and they would judge whether they could survive the winter or not, and then all three families would have been wiped out and died of exposure and hunger.
That's because we're not the hardy souls we were in the 1800s. We're too pampered now.
Even people back then, though, had a tough time. It was pretty rough.
Yeah.
This was in Montana.
I can't imagine taking the cow, hooking up that nasty old plow, and trying to get through that sod out there and then growing grain. I mean, it's tough enough growing tomatoes and peppers and hot peppers, you know, in my backyard, let alone trying to grow grain. I'm always mystified.
Yeah, and building your own cabin.
Yeah.
And they had to do all this stuff. And one of the families was, they were called the Clunes, I remember. And they were actually a very wealthy family. This guy owned his own defense aerospace firm. And so he's out there working his butt off like 14, 16 hours a day in the fields. And he's losing all this weight. And his wife thought he was dying. So she snuck into town and bought some real food. And they got reprimanded for that.
I don't want him dying. Why would anyone do that? I'm a wealthy man. I'm going to go on this show for a little fame.
I guess 5,000 families applied, and only three were chosen.
Fame is highly overrated.
I guess they wanted the challenge.
Yeah. Are we famous because we're on the radio?
We're legends in our own mind.
We have 18 fans, 18 listeners. There you go. Well, that's it is what it is.
I'll take it.
You could be famous like Nancy Pelosi and be the ultimate hypocrite. There was a story this week, again, at the Daily Drift.
She's the ultimate drunk or retard, too. Or both.
Both. Nancy Pelosi assists in Holy Week foot washing ritual. To honor the dignity and work of immigrants, Democratic House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi helped Bishop Mark Andrus in San Francisco wash the feet of two children Thursday at St. John the Evangelist Episcopal Church in San Francisco. You think that's a photo op?
I'd like to see her wash George Bush's feet. What a YouTube viral video that would be.
You know, the hypocrisy lies in, why would the bishop, now this is an Episcopalian church, so it's not the Roman Catholic Church, I guess. Why would they allow her, if she's so pro-choice and against stopping people from getting abortions, why would they allow her to participate with the church? That's what I don't understand.
Yeah, that's pretty strange.
You know, is it just a photo op for the bishop as well?
It's just strange all the way around.
I mean, it just smacks of total hypocrisy. She's not my favorite person. And if the Democrats win the House back, she would again be in charge and we'd get another Obamacare or whatever. Derek, we have that track. This is her on immigration. I wanted to get to this last week, and we couldn't get to it in time.
Anytime she speaks, I laugh.
Exactly, dude. This woman is leaving a legacy of stupidity like nobody else has ever seen. All right, let's listen to this track, Derek.
I think race has something to do with the fact that they're not bringing up an immigration bill. I've heard them say to the Irish, for just you, this would be easy. I think that, generally speaking, they are disrespectful of the representatives of the of the president's administration. Very disrespectful. I mean, in other words, we've all been on both sides of that discussion in the committee, and we always say whatever it is that you are agreeing or disagreeing, we always owe our witnesses respect. So I don't really want to go to that place. I would just say that their disdain for anybody who disagrees with them is pretty across the board. And I don't want to go to the race piece, but I think it certainly applies to women.
Okay.
Oh, one of the biggest hypocrisies on her part is talking about respect. She was the most disrespectful scumbag toward the Bush administration. Some of the outrageous and just traitorous things she said.
Yes. Well, they when she says they, she's talking, of course, about the Republicans and the GOP not tackling immigration. But she was cornered on that. Who told you that? Who said that to the Irish? And she had to back down. She couldn't name a name. So it's something she just made up in order to further divide the country. And that's what the 2014 election is all about, division on their part. Well, let's divide and conquer. Let's get the liberals and the independents and the Republicans all bickering and fighting, and let's section out those different areas, the African-Americans, the women, the Hispanics, and get everybody divided so that we can maintain control. And it's horrific the way that this – and you didn't see this on the mainstream media. Nobody played that on ABC, NBC, or CBS. You know, this woman is an idiot and a racist of her own. You know, here she is once again showing her own hypocrisy. And it boggled my mind that she would say that they're disrespectful, anyone who disagrees with them. That sounds like the Obama administration. They're disrespectful of anybody who disagrees with them.
And they just turn it around and point the finger and accuse people of being what they're actually doing, and they get away with it, of course.
Yes, absolutely. Another another Democratic ploy is Harry Reid this week. Again, using that same turnaround philosophy. I'm going to turn it back on you.
Yeah, deflection.
Deflection, that's what we call it, right? Mm-hmm. Harry Reid labels supporters of rancher Cliven Bundy domestic terrorists. And he reveals that he's putting a federal task force to investigate this.
You know, what most people don't realize about Cliven Bundy and his family is they weren't always cattle ranchers. They actually were prospectors, and I got some audio to prove that. Derek, go ahead.
Listen, mister, all I got is the car, the kids, and the wife on my back. Please, what do you say? You want to sell?
Well, I don't know. You look like a nice fella. Gold would just ruin your life. And you've already got it all, a wife and kids. You must have more than this. Besides, you don't know what gold does to a man's soul. It turns families into mobs. It brings hatred and violence. Turns brother again sister, and husband again wife.
So it'd be just like my life now, except I have gold in both fists and I'd be saying yippee, yippee.
Well, all right.
Kelly, give the nice man daddy's car keys. It's the Dodge parked out back with producer on the license plate and an odometer that reads 7 million miles.
Dodge is a damn fine car. Ran over my wife with a Dodge.
Well, I could always buy a new Dodge for that.
That's Cliven Bundy right there.
I was thinking of the Bundys earlier. That's so funny. Was that Married with Children?
Absolutely.
Yeah, great stuff. Got to love that show. It's funny because we're watching Sons of Anarchy now. And I look at, what's her name in the show, Gemma, whatever her last name is.
Yeah, I've never seen the show. I've heard of it.
Oh, it's a great show. You can get it on Netflix now and go back through or go to the local video store. I think they've got
it. Is it about motorcycle gang?
It's about a motorcycle gang.
Like Hell's Angels is what it's kind of supposed to be about?
Yeah, kind of like that. But she's like the matriarch of this motorcycle clan, so it's very hard to – the last time I really saw her do anything was Married with Children. You know, she's done some movies, I think, since then.
Oh, is it the woman that played Peg?
Yes.
Al's wife?
Yes, Al's wife.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she's
a great actress.
Katie Sagal.
Yes.
Yes, Katie Sagal. So she's in it now, and she's pretty hardcore, you know. So she went from one extreme comedic relief to total drama, and she's a great actress.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very impressed with it. The only other show that I know that she's done regularly, she was the voice of the one-eyed lady on Futurama.
I was just going to say that.
Which I'm also watching after the fact with my son now. We're watching Futurama trying to go through that. So
yeah, that show had its brilliance.
Yes, yes, love it. So I look forward to watching that on a regular basis. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will continue our discussion. See you on the other side.
Listeners, I'm Edwin Hoffman, host of Speaking of Art. Join me Saturdays at 3 p.m. We'll circumnavigate the world of art with lively interviews with renowned artists, collectors, dealers, museum directors and curators, writers, actors, musicians, and philanthropists. Close to home or far afield, we'll visit museums, galleries, and historic sites. We'll explore the lives of famous artists and their times, discuss current trends in art, architecture, design, and antiques collecting, as well as ways to grow and protect a collection. But the main component is you and what you can take from the show to enhance the creativity of your life. Speaking of Art is one of the great conversations in your week, lively and full of relevance. So nestle into an overstuffed chair and join our room full of connoisseurs every Saturday at 3 on Wham! Talk 1600. Speaking of art, it's about civilization, yours.
I'm Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current and The Daily Drift. With today's internet environment, it's easy to get information overload. The best way to process this information and cut through the internet chatter is to get your news delivered in a concise and effective manner. Get the news you need to know at thedailydrift.com. Check out The Daily Drift, one of the fastest growing websites around. At The Daily Drift, I find the local, state, national, and international stories you won't get from the mainstream media, and I make it easy for you to link to them. You'll also get original common sense opinions from local writers. You can even get a free subscription that will deliver a link to your email inbox every day for free. You'll also get instant access to all archived podcasts of the Drift Radio Show and links to the best articles, opinions, and websites. Go to www.thedailydrift.com. That's the news you'll need to know at thedailydrift.com.
If you are struggling to pay energy bills, always contact your utility provider first for shutoff prevention or payment plans. For other available energy, weatherization, and assistance programs, call 211 or the Michigan Public Service Commission at 800-292-9555. You can also visit their website at michigan.gov/MPSC for more information. This has been a public service message from the Michigan Public Service Commission.
You know, friends, a wise man once said, he said something. I can't remember what it is right now, but that's not important. This is Thay Rona inviting you to join me for the Bone Conduction Music Show. It's a rockin' show on the radio, and we use only the finest ingredients, and we've been doing business in the same location since 1842. Join me here for the Bone Conduction Music Show.
Join Thay Rona for the rockin'est show on the radio. It's the Bone Conduction Music Show. Every Sunday night at 7 p.m., right here on Wham! Talk 1600.
And thank you for tuning in to Catch the Drift. In studio, Brandon Drake.
Yo, yo.
Hanging out.
What up?
Getting through another Saturday. At least the weather's warming up, right?
Oh, it's beautiful out there.
Yeah, tomorrow's supposed to be even nicer for Easter. It's Easter show, dude.
Easter weekend.
Easter weekend.
Do you have Monday off?
No.
No?
I did have Friday off.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, thank my company for that. Good Christian company, I guess, right? Good Friday. It's always a good Friday when you don't have to work.
It's always an excellent Friday.
All right, so I've got a little story that will kind of go back to what John from Farmington Hills was talking about, federal land, federal government trying to take over land. And, of course, there was I had something on the Drift about a week ago that showed the percentage of land in all the states that is owned by the federal government. And Nevada, it's like 87%. It's crazy. It's like the entire state almost is owned by the federal governments, which leads you to wonder why Clive and Bundy and other ranchers are – I'm sure there were more ranchers angry than Clive and Bundy, but he's the only one that decided to make a stink about it. And luckily, things have turned out, knock on wood, okay so far, but I imagine in the end he will lose. You fight the federal government, you can't win, you know,
kind
forever.
Of- off subject a little bit, isn't most of the water in Nevada kind of sent to Las Vegas?
Probably.
And I think the ranchers are always fighting with that system of diverting the water to that major metropolis because Nevada doesn't have a whole lot of water.
Yeah, and it comes out of the mountains
someplace.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And probably comes from the California side more than likely. And, of course, the federal government's cutting off farmers in California from their water, too, to save the – what's that little fish called? The snail darter or whatever.
The snail darter. Wasn't the snail
Let
darter –
Let the people starve, but we got to take care of the snail darter.
Wasn't the snail darter in Tennessee at the Tennessee Valley Authority Dam?
Yeah, I don't know what that was.
Remember that back in the – I think it was the 70s?
It was probably another fish. I think the snail darter is the one in California.
Oh, okay.
There was probably a speckled – even, you know where my mind goes.
Speckled pickerel?
Pickerel or something, yes. But that's exactly right. They're putting, you know, things of importance over top of people's lives and livelihood. I mean, they're driving up prices of food. If you go shopping now, we may not notice it because we shop all the time. But from before the Obama administration took over, food prices are way up. People don't really realize it. I think it inches up a little bit all the time and you don't think about it. Prices of food is way up. Price of beef this year is going to skyrocket. I won't be eating hamburgers. I'm going to go do pork burgers. You know, so I'm going to do whatever it takes to eat meat this year, but it probably won't be a lot of beef.
Yeah, Theron was talking about pork being through the roof too.
There was an article about pig disease going out that was killing a bunch of pigs, so that'll drive the price up too. I guess we're just going to have to go to falafels.
I've got the answer. You and I, we will start an ostrich farm. Oh, you've already done that.
I've done that, right? I used to do the emus. I raised
emus. Yeah.
Yes, I raised
not ostrich, but they're like mini ostriches, right?
Yes. Yeah. If you've ever seen an ostrich up close, they're a pretty scary beast.
And you've had llamas too.
I've had llamas too.
Someday on the air, you're going to have to tell our listeners the story you told me about the llama and how it slept in your bedroom.
Oh yeah. You want to talk about a smart animal? That animal was potty trained in 24 hours. Just amazing. That is a good story. We'll tell it.
Yeah, that's an excellent. It's an incredible story.
Yeah. We'll have to, you know what? We'll do an in-depth discussion of you and I one of these days.
Yeah, no, well, I've got nothing. You've got all these, you got these exotic, wonderful stories.
I've had a friend tell me I should write a book, and I'm like, just too lazy to do that. I started writing a book about a year ago, 2 years ago now, and writer's block. It's not writer's block. It doesn't have time.
Yeah, and you know what? It has to become a habit. You have to set aside time, like say in the morning, before you start your other activities and responsibilities. I've heard that if you're going to be a writer, you have to set aside, say, 40 minutes before you do anything and just sit down. Even if you feel like you have nothing to write about, you have no creativity, you've got to sit there and force yourself to write.
Right. Well, right.
Right. Right. And the guy that wrote, what's his name, Grisham, that wrote The Firm,
yes. Mm-hmm.
He was a lawyer and all that, and he wanted to be a writer, and he said that's what he did. He would get up before he went to his law practice, and he would write every morning. So all the aspiring artists and writers and everything out there, that's what you have to do.
Yeah. To be prolific, you mm-hmm. have to be like that. You know, I've got too many things going on.
I'm just too lazy and disorganized.
Well, the one good thing that came out of this Bundy Ranch fiasco is that now it brought to light the fact that the federal government is taking way too much control, and hopefully 10th Amendment stuff will start coming out and the states will say, wait a minute. Western lawmakers gather in Utah to talk federal land takeover. More than 50 political leaders from 9 states convened for the first time to talk about their joint goal, wresting control of oil, timber, and mineral-rich lands back away from the federal government. Touché. Yes, they should. Because you know what? The federal government doesn't know what they're doing with it anyways. They don't know how to take care of it. They don't know how to manage it. They certainly just want to sock it away for the day they can spend it on something stupid, you know? It's simply time, said Representative Ken Ivory from West Jordan, who organized the legislative summit on the transfer for public lands along with the Montana State Senator Jennifer Fielder. The urgency is now. And I think it's a good thing. You know, this is probably long overdue. Again, it's one of those things that, you know, other than those of us like John and you and I and the rest of the people at the station, we see Agenda 21 on a regular basis because we're paying attention. But average folks are not paying attention. They don't know that the federal government just bought another 1,000 acres here or just condemned somebody's property over here because it had wetlands on it. You know, you don't see those stories in the mainstream media. You only see them on shows like ours. And it's time to put an end to it. You know, I'm hoping come November, people will ask that question. You know, ask the question, is your congressman elect one of those people who will side with the 10th Amendment? Are they constitutionalists? I think that's probably the basic question to ask. Are you a constitutionalist? Do you believe in the Constitution, including the 10th Amendment? And if he says yes or she says yes, they're probably worth voting for.
Nah, the Constitution, it's old, doesn't apply anymore.
That's the Democratic take.
Exactly.
Yes, that's the Democratic take on it. So, you know, hopefully people will start looking at it. I'd love nothing better than to see some more lawsuits from the states wresting control back. I think we have to go back to that to save the union. You know, if we've become so oligarchical – I can't even say the word.
Oligarchic?
Oligarchic. Where all that power – you know, I thought of this when I was watching The Hunger Games too, you know, the first one and the second one. They talk about the capital. Everything belongs to the capital, and we all just support the capital, and we're slaves basically. That's what's happening. You know, how much of our
– Bow to me.
That's exactly right. You know, everything seems to be concentrating – in Washington, that's the capital, you know, and we pay for it. And they just take and they take and they take. And at some point, people are not going to continue with that.
Yeah, they take and redistribute and, yeah, that's a centralized Soviet-style system.
Correct. So let's finish off with recovery. Jim Carville, Democratic pundit, his advice to Democrats – this week was...
This is the loudmouth from Louisiana, right?
Yes, okay. That's that guy.
That's married to Mary Matlin.
She's a Republican.
I've never understood how that can work. Something's not right. So anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead. We're running out of time.
But they do. Well, the human skeleton is saying to Democrats, don't talk about recovery. Because the summer of recovery 2 summers ago, we're still trying to, and I'm hand quoting, recover. There is no recovery. If you take the real data, not the data spoon-fed to us by the Bureau of Labor and Statistics, there's no real recovery. People are still not working the way they should be. I mean,
certainly not earning what they should be.
Yes,
or what they used to.
So he's telling the Democrats for 2014, don't talk recovery. And, of course, they probably shouldn't be talking Obamacare either. So what are they talking about? That's the one thing you really haven't seen. They're talking immigration. Again, the division. Let's find something to inflame the base and get them squared off to come out in droves on the 4th on November, you know? Is it that time already?
It's that time of the day.
Okay, well, until next week, go to thedailydrift.com. Share that with your friends on Facebook. Help educate people. You really do yourself and the country a favor if you share these items on Facebook and on Twitter and whatever else. So be that person by campaigning on a personal level. Until next week, stay educated.
Take care.